This is the Voice Overwork podcast, brought to you by Newton Media Group, a family of creative services. On the podcast today, we take a little deeper look into a book introduced in a previous podcast with a chapter-by-chapter look at speed reading people, analyzing personality and signs in conversation, how to read, understand, talk to, and influence people, effective communication training mastery to improve your social skills. Written by Harvey Augustus, narrated by Russell Newton. Chapter 1, What is Speed Reading and Why You Should Learn How to Do It? Imagine you're in a store and you need help finding a product. You look around you and see four different employees. One employee is a teenage boy. He's staring at his phone. This makes you believe he's not interested in his job or that he does not take his work seriously. Because of this, he might not be the right person to help you. The next employee that you see is wearing a button-down collared shirt with a tie. He's wearing dress pants and shiny black shoes as well. He's pacing up and down an aisle while talking into an earpiece. He seems busy, like he might be the store manager, so he might not be the person to ask either. The third employee is about to head to the back. They might be taking off their work vest and talking about how hungry they are. Since they're heading to a break, they're probably not going to help you right now either. Next, you see a woman standing near a shelf, straightening the products. She's focused on what she's doing and gives a friendly smile to the customers who walk by her. You decide that she'll be the person to help you find what you're looking for. In this situation, whether you were aware of it or not, you were reading the people around you. You were looking to find the person who would be able to best assist you based on what they look like, what activities they were partaking in, and the emotions they were showing. Based on these judgments, you narrowed down your option and chose the best employee for the job. With this example, it's easy to see that reading people is actually something that we do every day. Speed reading people is similar to this. It's just a specific way to read people. It's purposeful, quick, and efficient. It helps you read the people around you in a way that betters your life and helps you to get the things you need in just about any situation. Speed reading involves many aspects. Chapter 2, Personality versus Character. One of the main things that you judge people for is their personality. The personality of friends and co-workers allows you to decide if you have enough similarities to get going. The personality of strangers is one of the first things you notice when you talk to them, as well as one of the most memorable things about them. Let's start by looking into what personality is. Personality is defined as the mixture of traits that makes a person who they are. It is something unique. No two people on earth have the same exact personality. It's something that people are aware of. It can be shaped by life experiences, likes and dislikes, and wants and needs. It can be formed by who the person wants to be as well. It can change daily if the person wants it to. But now you may ask how this is different from character. A character is who a person is at the core. It's often shaped by the life that the person has lived. It includes their morals and beliefs. It's the thing that shows when a person is going through a challenge. Character and personality are two different aspects of the person. Understanding this can help us to better read those around us. Why? Because once you understand the difference between the two, you'll be able to spot both a person's personality and a person's character. This will help you in your speed reading quest. These differences come from a source called the 100 Steps Mission. This site is run by Natalie Hall, author of The 100 Steps to Financial Independence, Your Definitive Roadmap to Achieving Your Financial Dreams. On her site, Hall speaks not only about finances and how to take charge of your financial future, but also about inspirational leadership, how to use your knowledge about others, and what you can... Chapter 3, What Causes Specific Personality Traits? Now that we know what exactly personality is, let's look into how it comes to be. Personality is a complex part of who we are, and it's made up of many different factors. Without our personality, we would all be a blank slate. Our personality tells us and others more about us. First, let's look at one of the places where our personality could have started, our genes. This information is based on Daniel Nettle's article, The Science Behind Personality. Scientists have done many studies and recently found that certain personality traits, like being an introvert or an extrovert, could be genetic. They believe that this trait is genetic because of a specific gene that codes the dopamine in our brains. The gene decides how long the sequence of this neurotransmitter is, and the length of the sequence affects whether a person becomes an introvert or an extrovert. Scientists also believe that parts of the personality come from the theory of evolution. They believe this because many animals have unique personalities. It's not just something for humans. It also adds to why the theory of natural selection makes sense, because personality makes every living being unique from one another. Psychologists today state that our personality comes from three basic needs that we all have as humans. In her article, From Needs to Goals and Representations, Foundations for a Unified Theory of Motivation, Personality, and Development, psychologist Carol Dweck asserts that these three basic needs consist of our need to protect the world we live in, our need to act on this world competently, and our need to be accepted by the people around us. Dweck also states that as we reach these three basic needs, we start to form feelings and opinions about the world that we live in. These feelings are based on beliefs, emotions, and actions. Chapter 4, Each Personality Type Described. Now that we've identified exactly what personality is and where it comes from, we'll explore the different types of personality traits. This is where our speed reading focus starts to come into play. If you have a deep understanding of each of the following personality traits, you'll be able to read the people around you more quickly and easily. The personality types in this chapter will be broken up into sections. There are many different theories on how personalities are grouped, and it is important to understand them all in order to speed read people efficiently. Am I an introvert or an extrovert? There are several types of personality tests that can group people into categories to explain what type of person they are. Each personality test is different, but most are made up of four categories. In each category, there are two personalities. When you take the test, you're given one letter from each category that best describes who you are. The result of the test is then a string of four letters. It is known to accurately describe a person's personality and is used in many professional and personal settings worldwide. This particular personality test has become so popular that some people even take simplified variations of it online as fun quizzes through such social media outlets as Facebook. Despite this trivialization, the results are still valid and very useful when it comes to speed reading others and understanding your own personality. Many people like to use these tests to help them figure out whether they are an introvert or extrovert naturally. Taking a test that includes this kind of section can help you figure out whether you'll feel recharged with some alone time or if social activities are more your style. Here are some ways that you can tell if a person is introverted or extroverted. Introvert. 5. How to tell a person's personality type. First, let's look at what you can learn from a person's appearance. The first thing that you might notice is if a person takes care of themselves well or not. If a person cares for themselves well, they'll be in clean clothes and will practice basic hygiene techniques. For example, their hair and teeth will probably be brushed. They'll be wearing nice, clean clothes as well. Another thing that you might notice based on a person's appearance is how confident they are with themselves. If they're slouching or not making eye contact with the people around them, they might either be uncomfortable or not confident with themselves in the situation that they are in. This could point to them either being introverted or highly sensitive. You'll be able to tell which based on the other traits that you notice in them. You might also notice a person's vocabulary once you begin talking to them or even as you hear them speaking across the room. If a person uses large and sophisticated words, education might be important to them, or they might be trying to sound professional for their job. Their vocabulary can also help you fit them into certain personality categories. If they talk a lot and use a large number of words, they might be extroverted, and you can pretty easily assume that they're normal and not highly sensitive. If they continue to talk positively to the people around them, you might be able to make the assumption that they respond best to positive words and praise. Next, you might be able to learn more about the personality of the person that you're speed reading based on their occupation. If they have a job where they have to speak in front of large crowds or talk to clients for the entire day and they seem to love it, they're probably extroverted. If they are a counselor who loves to talk with clients about their feelings and mental health, you might be able to assume that they are highly sensitive or that they're more feeling versus thinking. If they lead a large... Chapter 6. Taking context into account. As we mentioned earlier, sometimes the words that a person says are not what you should be paying attention to, especially while you're speed reading the person who was talking. We talked earlier about how the words that a person speaks might have different meanings based on how exactly they're said, and that it is important to listen for more than just words. Now, we're going to discuss something called context. Context is everything that is happening around you while the conversation is going on, the history of the person you're speaking with, and any other details that might affect the meaning of the words that are being spoken. When it comes to speed reading, context is extremely important. For example, if someone is talking about how much they love their work, and you notice that their boss is standing right next to them, you might be able to assume that what they're saying could possibly be an exaggeration, or it could even be a lie that was said simply to impress their boss. If someone is telling you how much they love their job while no one else is around, and you have no involvement with their work whatsoever, you can probably assume that they actually really love their job. Not only can context change the meaning of what someone is saying, but it can also help you read between the lines. In the previous example, I mentioned how someone might be talking about how much they love their work, but their boss is standing right next to them, thus casting some doubt on the validity of their claim. Further context in this situation could help you read between the lines of what this person is saying. Let's say, for instance, that this person has told you before that their boss has been really hard on them and is known for reprimanding employees for the smallest infractions. Maybe you also notice that their boss has a scowl on their face and that the employee stiffened as soon as their boss came by. When it's all put together, this context allows... Chapter 7. Intuition. I have briefly mentioned already that intuition is something that can be used as a tool when you're speed reading the people around you. It's a tool that I personally have used in speed reading very often. In this chapter, we'll look into what intuition is, learn how exactly to use it in speed reading, and hear a personal story of how strong of a tool intuition truly is. First, let's look into what intuition really is. Intuition is the feeling that you get about a person or situation, even if you don't know much about it. It's the feeling that you can get that makes you feel like you're in danger or makes you feel safe. It's not necessarily a learned skill. It's mostly something that we're born with. Because of this, intuition can be a strong tool to use in speed reading. When you use intuition in speed reading, you use it like you do in any other way. Using intuition while reading the people around you is no different than using intuition in the rest of your life. You'll not necessarily have to try to use your intuition. It's something that comes naturally. Because of this, intuition is not really a tool that you can count on. It's not a tool that you can put in your list of things to use. Sometimes it will come to you while you are reading a person, and other times, it will not. The important thing about using intuition while you are reading people is to simply remember to use it when it appears. It's almost like a free tool. It's something you don't have to think about that just happens, and you can use it to your advantage. There's one particular instance of when my intuition came in handy and perhaps even saved me that sticks out in my mind. In my college days, I spent my summers working as a cashier in a small town garden center. The days were long and the customers were few and far. Chapter 8, Asking Questions. Intuition is a strong speed reading tool, but as we learned in the last chapter, it's not something that you're able to use on command. For a useful tool that you can use whenever you need it, try asking questions. Asking questions is simple and easy to remember because it's natural, It also helps you to learn a lot more about the people you're talking to. Asking questions can be one of the most useful tools for reading personality and speed reading because it clarifies information that you're not able to understand on your own. Some people might not like to use this tool because it makes it obvious that you're reading or at least trying to get to know the person whom you're talking to. It also requires the reader to actually speak to the person, and it cannot be used as a speed reading tool from across the room. Even if it requires a little bit more direct work, it is extremely helpful. If you're finding that you don't quite understand a person that you're trying to speed read, or you need clarification on something in order to classify the person into a specific personality trait, it can be an extremely helpful tool. In my occupation, asking questions is key to speed reading patients. At the beginning of the first session I have with a new patient, I only have bare minimal information about who they are and why they've come to me. For example, I might know that a new patient's name is Joanne and that she needs help getting her shopping addiction under control. However, I don't know anything beyond that, such as whether she's introverted or extroverted, if she's more logical or more emotional, if she likes to be in control or prefers to have someone else guide her, and so forth. I'll be able to tell some things about Joanne's personality through how she talks, her body language, etc., as we initiate the session. Nevertheless, I will still need to add... Chapter 9. Reliability of Your Readings. Anyone can read the tools in this book and try their hand at speed reading the people around them. But how do you know that your readings are accurate? How accurate are they? How do you know if they're not accurate at all? We'll learn all about these questions and how to answer them in this chapter. First of all, how accurate are our readings? The answer to this question varies, not only from person to person, but also from conversation to conversation. For example, if you are new to speed reading, your work might not be extremely accurate at first. The more that you learn about personality traits and other tools that you're able to use, and the more practice that you get, the more accurate your readings will become. The best speed readers are people who've been reading the people close to them for years. If you practice speed reading for a long time and use the tips that we provide in this book, your results could become extremely accurate. The accuracy of your speed reading not only depends on how long you've been doing it, but also on how much you know. For example, if you just skim over some information on the personality traits and other speed reading tools, your readings will not be very accurate at all. If you take your time and learn each tool and personality trait and create your own tools that will help you to use this information while you're speed reading people, your readings could again become extremely accurate. Another thing that affects the reliability and accuracy of your readings is your ability to determine if a person is telling the truth or if they're lying. If you want your readings to be more accurate, you will need to learn the body language signs that show if a person is lying or not. It's extremely important to have reliable readings, because without accurate results, what's the purpose of trying to speed read at all? Chapter 10. When readings are not as they seem. As you learn to speed read the personalities of the people around you, you will definitely make some mistakes. This is normal, and it's part of the learning process. How will you know, though, that your results are not correct? When you find out that you've made a mistake, what should you do next? In this chapter, we'll discuss the answers to these two very important questions. First of all, one of the easiest ways to figure out if you've made a mistake is if you have inconsistent results in your readings. For example, if you think that a person is an introvert, but you later learn that they're energized by spending time in groups of friends and by being the center of attention, they are probably not, in fact, considered introverts. In this situation, you would need to look back at what could have possibly caused your incorrect results. In this particular case, you might have missed that this person is an extrovert, but also often wants to work alone, or that they seem extremely intuitive. If all of these things are true, they might be both a highly sensitive person as well as an extrovert. The highly sensitive person characteristics might have made it seem like they were introverted, but their extroverted personality was able to show you that you had made a mistake in your reading. In the circumstance above, the reading was off because the person either did not have enough information when they made their assumption, or did not know the categories of the personality traits well enough. A person might also have an unreliable reading if they're not remembering to take into consideration the context that the conversation was had in. If someone says that they love their job, and they often give presentations in front of large groups of people, you might assume that they're extroverted. However, if when looking at the context you realize Chapter 11, How to Interact with People of Different Personality Types. Why do you want to learn how to speed read the people around you? Speed reading has many great benefits, but one of the best is that it allows you to interact well with the people around you. You can interact with people based on how their specific personality traits respond. In this chapter, we will look at the best ways to interact with each separate personality type. First, let's look into how to interact with people based on their personality types. If a person is an extrovert, they will love to talk to you, for example. Extroverts might respond well if you ask them questions because they're able to talk about themselves while they answer. Introverts, on the other hand, might do best in a calm and quiet conversation between just the two of you. A person with intuition might want to hear about your personal situations before they share their own. A sensing person might open up if you start a conversation based on facts about the past instead of future ideas. A thinker might want to tell you more about who they are if you give them a chance to talk about justice. A feeler might want to talk about the things that they love in the world or the people that they're close to. If you're talking to a judging person, you might need to make sure that you're talking about things that they agree with. A perceiver might be more open-minded and able to talk about a wider variety of viewpoints and topics. If you're talking to a person with a dominance trait, it's important to know that they talk in a direct fashion. You might want to avoid off-topic statements and jokes with these people, as they're mainly focused on the purpose of the conversation. It's also important to note that they are very driven, so they might open up to you if you talk to them about their goals in their life or their career field. A person with the influence trait should be taught. Chapter 12, How to Speak the Language of Other Personality Types. Sometimes when you're speed reading people, it will not be enough to simply know what their personality types are. Sometimes you'll actually need to speak their language. In this chapter, we will look into how you can speak the language of different personality types. First, let's look into what this really means. By speak in the language of a different personality type, I mean talking and acting in a way that the other person will appreciate and understand. This means that you should have the ability to not only know what a person's personality type is, but also how to act like you have the same one in order to get to know them better or in order to read them better. Basically, the way that you will get to know a person is by speed reading the room, and the way that you will speak their language is by acting like you have the same personality traits. Now, I know that you do not actually have these traits. I also know that you probably do not want to lie about who you are. You do not need to do either of these things. You simply need to act in a way that you know they will enjoy because of their personality type. Let's consider that you're an introvert talking to an extrovert. If you want to get to know them better, or if you want to allow them to like you, you'll need to speak their language. It's okay that you're an introvert, but you'll need to act a little bit extroverted in this conversation. For example, you might want to have a conversation in a public place around many other people. This is because, as we already know, this is the comfort place for an extrovert where they rest and recharge. You might want to take other things that you know about extroverts and involve them in the conversation as well. For example, we know that extroverts like to be the center of attention. Since you know this, you might want to make the conversation about the extrovert and not about you. Chapter 13, How to Date or Become Friends with People of Different Personality Types. As you know, people are all different, and many of the people that you love and feel close to might have different personality types than you do. Because of this, in order to make new friends and keep those friends that you have today, you will need to know how to interact with people of different personality types. For example, a friendship might seem difficult at first if one friend is an introvert and the other is an extrovert. The two people might have a hard time relating to each other, even if they have many other things in common. They might struggle to find things that they both enjoy doing together. In order to avoid situations like this, you'll need to know how to be friends with people of all personality types. You can begin this process by speed reading the people you make friends with to figure out what type of personality traits they have. Then, you can use the tips that we'll go over in the rest of this chapter to create lasting friendships despite any differences you might have. If you're friends with an introvert, you'll need to understand that they need time and space to be alone sometimes. This is not any type of offense to you or anything you did, but it's because their alone time is the way that they recharge themselves. If you're friends with an extrovert, you'll need to know that it's okay for you to turn down some of their requests to spend time with you. If you're overwhelmed by how much they want to do with you, don't feel bad. It's simply because they love spending time out with friends. If you're friends with an intuitive person, be ready for them to talk to you about their future often. You might even want to bring up their future because it will make them feel appreciated and heard. If you're friends with a sensor, you might want to talk about more practical or present and past relating things. If you're friends with a thinker. Chapter 14, Speed Reading People in a Workplace. So far, we've talked in detail about what speed reading is, as well as the things that you need to know in order to do it. We've talked about personality versus character, as well as the different personality categorization tools that can be helpful to use while you're speed reading people. We also started to learn how to interact with people of specific personality types. In the next large segment of this book, we're going to discuss how to use speed reading well in different situations. First, let's look into the workplace. When you go to work, you have to deal with people every single day. In some jobs, you might deal only with your direct coworkers whom you share an office space with, while in other jobs, you might interact with hundreds of customers in a short amount of time. Some jobs might even involve you speaking in front of thousands of people at a time. No job, however, is alone. Even if you work online from the comfort of your home, you're either conversing with or doing work for at least one other person. Clearly, every working person deals with other people to some extent throughout their workday. Because of this, speed reading must be a helpful tool to use in the workplace. First, let's look into how to network with people while using speed reading. If you're trying to do business with someone by networking with them, it will definitely help if you stand out to them. You make yourself stand out by understanding who they are as a person, as well as by interacting with them in a way that makes them feel good about themselves. For example, if a person is an introvert, you might want to create a comfortable and quiet setting for your meetings that is away from large groups of people. You might even want to do a large amount of the communication to them via email so that they're able to have more alone. Chapter 15, Speed Reading Potential Employers. When you're in the process of looking for and applying for a new job, things can feel scary. Even if you're not completely happy at your current job, you at least know what things are like. You know who your boss is and how he treats you. The same is usually not true when you're interviewing for a job with a different company in a new location. Thankfully, speed reading can help with this uncomfortable situation. When you interview for a new job, you can speed read the person who's interviewing you. When you do this, you'll be able to learn much more about how your future job would be if you chose to work for this person. The personality types that the interviewer has can help you to understand what it would be like to work for them in the future and to see them on what would probably be a daily basis. For example, if the interviewer seemed to have the telltale signs of an overly sensitive person, you might want to be careful around them. If you offended them or irritated them during the interview, for example, you'd probably not get the job. You'd also have to decide if working for an overly sensitive person would be something that you could do or would want to do every day of your life. Other personality traits, like introversion and extroversion, can affect the experience that you have with your boss as well. If you're looking for a job where your duties are communicated clearly and feedback is given often and at an honest rating, you might want to work for an extrovert. If you'd rather not have conversations with your boss unless you have to, you might feel better about working for an introvert. You might want to consider how good of a leader the interviewer is as well, if you're looking for a role model who's able to help you gain momentum in your field. If you want a good example and someone who can lead you well while you're at work, you might want to work for someone who has... Chapter 16, Speed Reading Interviewees. In the last chapter, I talked about how speed reading can benefit you while you're trying to get a new job. But did you know that it can also be a huge help from the other side? Speed reading can actually help interviewers get to know the people who are applying for their job opening. It can help you to get to know them on a more personal level than asking and answering questions can provide. It can tell you what type of worker they would be, and it can help you to decide whether or not they would be a good fit for your company. First, let's look into how speed reading can help you get to know the interviewees on a more individual and personal level. When you interview a person, you typically only get to know them based on how they answer questions. What if, though, the person whom you're interviewing is an introvert and is feeling too uncomfortable to give great answers? This does not take away their chance at being the perfect fit for the job in most cases, excluding jobs where social interaction is key, but it does take away your ability as the interviewer to get to know them well through the questions that you ask. If the person who you are interviewing is an introvert, you'll be able to tell from the personality signs and traits while you're reading them. You might notice that they seem quiet or that they mention activities that they can do alone. If you see these characteristics and that the person is uncomfortable in the interview, you might need to take a different approach to getting to know them better. You might want to consider talking to them softly and calmly. You could move the interview to a more private place if you were previously talking in a crowded public space. You could try to give questions that are either easy to answer or that you know the person is very interested in. All of these tips and tricks might help the interviewee to feel more comfortable and able to share their real talent. Chapter 17, Speed Reading for Teachers. If you think about speed reading and all its benefits, it's easy to see why speed reading would be beneficial for teachers. It would allow them to know their students better. It would let them see into how they can better reach their students at each of their own individual levels. It would even allow teachers to better understand how each of their students learns on an individual level. This is not the only way that speed reading can help teachers, however. These tools can actually help teachers before they even get a job and while they're in the midst of their teacher training. College professors and other teacher trainers can use speed reading techniques to ensure that they are producing the best teachers possible. The trainer can speed read the future teachers as well. The trainer can decipher which personality categories the future teacher fits into. They can then help them grow as a teacher based on these traits. This would allow the trainees to grow into the best teachers that they can possibly be. For example, the trainer can see if a teacher feels loved through receiving gifts or through quality time. The trainer can then get to know the teacher and show appreciation for them in this way. If the trainer does this, the teacher might remember it and pass it on to her own class. If she feels and gives love through receiving gifts, she might pass out stickers to the little children in her classroom after they have an exceptional day. If she prefers quality time, she might create an extended recess with class activities where she can play games with her students to get to know them on a more individual and personal level. The trainer could even consider teaching the future teachers about speed reading. If the future teachers knew about speed reading, they would be able to use it in their own classroom. Chapter 18, Personality Types in Children. Reading the personalities of children and kids seems difficult because children don't necessarily know who they are entirely before they're grown up. Their personalities are still changing on a daily basis as they get to know themselves. Regardless of these two things, it is possible to get to know the personality types of the children in your life. In this chapter, we'll learn how to do just that. First, let's talk about how children do not necessarily know who they are when they're young. Young children might not even be aware of their personality or what a personality really is. They might not be able to tell you if they're introverted or extroverted because they don't even know what those words mean. Because of this, you'll have to rely completely on readings and not necessarily on what they tell you, because they're not able to tell you very much concrete information. Even younger children might not be able to talk. If you're trying to read the personality of a child who cannot talk, you will have to look only at their actions. This is okay, though, because you can still tell how their first personality type is forming and be able to speed read them based on this. Next, let's look into the fact that children are still changing on a daily basis. Young people are still trying to determine who they are and who they want to be in this world. They also do not have much life experience, so they've not gone to the events that will shape who they're going to be as grown-ups. This makes the personality of the child kind of shallow. It could be different from day to day. Because of this, it's important to remember that the personality reading that you were doing one day might be different the next day. This is not because you're reading wrong. It's simply because children change often and can be difficult to read. Chapter 19, How to Use Personality Types to Your Advantage. You're learning how to speed read people for a reason. That reason is probably not only so that you can help the people around you. This can be a good thing to do, but you probably have some reasons that are a little bit more selfish. Luckily, it is easy to use speed reading for your own advantage. When you know personality types and traits, you'll be able to use your knowledge to help you in many ways in your own life. First, let's look into how you can use personality types and traits to get to know people better in your own life. If you need friends, or if you're looking to start a new romantic relationship, you'll be able to use your knowledge of personality traits and types in this journey. You'll be able to tell the personality of the person whom you are trying to get to know, and you'll be able to impress them because you will know what they like and what they need from you. Next, let's look into how you can use your knowledge of personality types and traits to your advantage in your employment. First, you can use your knowledge to get you a job that you like. You can use it in your interview and your screening process, and also use your knowledge when you have a permanent job to get to know your coworkers and work well with them. You can even use your knowledge to get to know your boss and impress them by doing the things that they like. This might even help you to get raises or promotions at work. Knowing your personality traits and types can even help you in your home life. If you know the personalities of the people that are in your family, you'll be able to love them better and help them better in what they need. This will in turn make for a better family solution for you. Your family will be happier, and you'll have less stress in your home if you're able to give them what they need. I remember growing up in a larger family. Chapter 20, How to Use the Meanings of These Traits to Your Advantage. We've already learned about the different personality types and traits and how they can help you in your life personally. Next, let's look into why you need to know as many little details as you can possibly memorize. These little details will help you to be set apart from other speed readers. They'll also be able to help you know more information than just the basics when you're reading into a person's personality. The added benefits not only help you to read the people around you, but they can help you to better your own personal situation as well. For example, if you don't know how to tell if a person is an introvert or an extrovert, you pretty much only know that they like to spend time in groups and they're outgoing, or they like to spend time alone and that they're shy. However, if you know that they have many more characteristics because of those introversion or extroversion, and you know what those characteristics are, you'll know much more about the person you're reading. If you know that extroverts also tend to like to be the center of attention, you'll know that if you talk to them about themselves, it will make them happy. You can use this information in many ways. For example, you can use this information when you're talking to a person that you would like to work for someday. If you know that this person is an extrovert, you can talk to them about who they are and how you love everything that they have accomplished in their professional life. They'll likely tell you more about themselves, and they will feel appreciated and heard. They will like that you want to learn more about them. This will make you stand out as a candidate for a future job, and it could get you the job that you would love someday. It could be the thing that sets you apart from others applying for the same job. Another example would be if you know a person is... This has been Speed Reading People, Analyzing Personality and Signs in Conversation, How to Read, Understand, Talk to, and Influence People, Effective Communication Training Mastery to Improve Your Social Skills, written by Harvey Augustus, narrated by Russell Newton. Copyright 2020 by Harvey Augustus. Production copyright by Harvey Augustus. More information regarding today's book and the author can be found at audible.com or amazon.com. Show notes and further information can be found at russelericnewton.com. With a collection of trivia, research, news stories, and knowledge from some of the newest audiobooks on the market, this has been the Voice Over Work Podcast, brought to you by Newton Media Group, a family of creative services.